Wednesday, the 10th of October, Rabbi Avigdor Brazil, Parshas Melech. Good. Parshas Melech. What can we learn from Noach? Our problem is, the further back we go in time, Torah itself is very hard to learn from. The people, like patriarchs, matriarchs and so on and so forth, we have no idea who they were, how they lived, how they functioned, what's going to do with us. Go further back in time and you get to changed worlds, you get to worlds which nature was different, the molecular structure of everything was different, if you like. Go to my liberation. What was the problem with my liberation? No one really understands it, even if they claim they do. Probably they understand it less if they claim they do. Parashas Bereishis, Adam HaRishon, what does this mean, being created by God? What does all that mean? We don't know. Noach is already the second, if you like, the second shlav, even though it's thousands of years, but it's a thousand years. Second shlav. What can we get from Noach and his lifestyle and how he lived and what he lived for? Shteitan Chazal, Noach saw three worlds, before the Mabul, during the Mabul, and after the Mabul. And these worlds, how do they relate to our world? How do we gain from these things? So we have to sometimes look at the, if you like, the mussar that we can extrapolate here. In a few lessons we can see something about Noach, Noach's lifestyle, Noach what he did, Noach ish tzadik, tovim hayo v'dei roisom. What can we see from Noach? Let's look, I would sort of examine it backwards. Noach failed twice, if you like, or a few times, but let's say we have twice it's mentioned, there was actually an Oynish mentioned of Noach, and let's look backwards, and if we can work out from there, what was he supposed to be, and what can that teach us about our lives? I think it's very, very relevant. As I mentioned last time, I think part of this, and this, and this, and this, very relevant to non-Noachism. Put it like that. Noach comes out with a teva, and the Yochel Noach is told he starts to plant something, and he plants a vineyard or a vine, and he drinks thereof the fermented fruits thereof, and he gets high, they say, a hechemesh, and this result in this scene with Chom and so on and so forth, and that already is one Oynish, the Sirus of Noach and so on. The problem. And Rashi comments from Chazal, he should have started with something else. There was some mistake in his Seder Hadvorim. Should have planted something else. One thing. He went the wrong Seder, and this is what results from it. And if you like, when you're going along Seder, and if we look at it a little bit, with a symbolic, a little bit deeper, so he gets drunk, literally, and there's most people who've ever been in that state, and I imagine looking at some of the venerable ages over here, it was a while ago, and some people maybe still remember it more recently. It's very, very great lack of Seder. Great lack of Seder when a person is in such a state, and by there's no Seder, no Mahalach, it's all confusion and so on and so forth. Interesting. The other thing we find, and Medrash mentioned as well, was that Noach is only left, and sort of some of Noach is left. Apparently that's the fact. Some of Noach is left after the Seder. Why some of Noach? Because he was mauled by one of the animals, the lion or whatever, the king of the animals, sort of representing the animal kingdom. He was mauled because he didn't turn up quite on time for breakfast or supper or lunch, whatever it was. He didn't present it, and Noach was mauled because of that. Interesting. So you have two nekudas here that, if you like, that we are allowed through Chazal only, to say, perhaps hesitatingly, there was some mistake. Noach had some flaw, some failing at least in over here. And we all know that always the failings that Kutchbok Medatik Sadikim Kutasara Noach, which is Tzadik, we know that the failings of any particular Godel Anok, giant of stature, we know, would always actually be related to their maila, or actually their job, or what they ought to have been, what they ought to have been and who they were and so on and so forth. They're always tested, and they're like if they don't actually keep what they ought to really be, that's when they're sort of caught out on that thing particularly. So if we're going to work backwards, we're going to look at Noach as having, if you like, failed in these two places, in Seder, implanting the wrong thing first, and I'll explain that a little bit in more depth and what that means over there, and in not coming on time with the food, which is similar to also the Indian in Seder. He's not there at the right time, the right place, and said he's not doing that. I always used to ask in yeshiva, and when I was in yeshiva, how did Noach survive? And what was Noach, this prototype, this second Adam Rishon? As we know, Noach was the second Adam Rishon. The world was rechurned, almost to a tohu vavohu, rechurned up, even three tefachim, the layer of the zekaka, and there was a recreated world, and we begin again with Noach, also with three children, like Adam Rishon had three, and so on. Noach had three, at the beginning over there, at least those three Ikar ones, etc. Noach is the new Adam Rishon. There's a Mabel, the creation. We all come from Noach. And even though we all come from Noach. The whole of mankind comes from Noach. There's a prototype. And if you look at it, as I said right in the beginning, Noach lived in three worlds. Before the Mabel, during the Mabel, and after the Mabel. So, if we look at the world during the Mabel, this is called a world. This is called an Olam. And it makes sense to say, this is a preparatory world to the world after the Mabul, and the world, if you like, as we know it, when the seasons aren't going to change that much, where we're going to have the life span is lessened and life more as we know it. And there's a preparation here. So there was a trial. If we look at it, we're not with Chas v'Shalom, Kodesh Baruch Hu knew and everything is known by the Ein Sof. We're not saying Kodesh Baruch Hu experimenting, but if you like, look at it from our perspective, from our perspective, we had an experiment of a world, we then have a changing of that world, and then we have a development of a new world, which more or less stays static and stays as it is for Biz Moshiach comes. That's how we have, if you like, the setup. What was Noach doing to prepare for that new world? What was he doing? How did he prepare for that new world? So, if we'd be in yeshiva, the classic thing would be to say, learn Torah all day, because that's what you do in yeshiva. Supposedly, so not that. We don't actually find that. It's a very odd occupation Noach had all day long, praying for a new world. And not only how did he prepare for a new world, I always have a question, how did he survive at doing that? We're talking about an anak karuach, we're talking about someone who was great, a relationship with his father, with a novi, Jerusalem talked to Noach, that means he was a novi. He was huge among us. Now what did he actually do? And Lechora, according to the way we find it in Medrash and Chazal, etc., he fed animals all day long. Right? It was a constant 24-hour, whatever it is, maybe he had time for different watches, time to sleep, I don't know if you find it. Slept, didn't sleep, I'm not sure. But he fed animals. On and on and on and on and on. Which isn't like an occupation that one would expect of the person who's going to create the new world order. New world order, the new Europe. Going to be feed animals all day. That's the halak. That's what we need. That's what we needed to develop to be zookeepers, to be yochel, in a derogatory way. But what's behind that? And how did he do it for a whole year? And this obviously asked Bochum in yeshiva. Here you've got coming up. It's just almost a Shvedish Hevman. A good 6 month chunk of a Shvedish Hevman is coming up. 6 months man in yeshiva in the dark. So the winter's man outside, all rainy and cold and snows eventually and winds, it's like, and this is the table, you're inside the yeshiva's the table, that's my famous table shmooze, as they call it, right, you're inside the table the whole day long. But how do you survive for so long sitting down in one place? What did Noach do? No outlet, no rest, no relaxation. We all came back now, I mean, not we, but some of us came back from holidays, and you see the nice motor van outside over there. So if someone's along with somebody, it's going away camping or camper, so if anyone's been somewhere in the summer, one has to go away, because one has to go away in order to be able to function properly during the year. Noach for a whole year. And as I've many times said, I've said it here twice already, when you learn up Chumash, you have to learn up Chumash from yourselves, literally, in other words, work through it. What does that mean? Before we get to the symbolism, before we get to the Hecha Pshatim, Look. How can one sit in one spot for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, stay in one room? Can we stay in this base of Medrash? How many of us could stay in here for more than I mean, even for half an hour, it's quite hard to stay in here and stay awake. But you see it, you know, for the course of an hour, for an hour, but just round and round, the same thing. The bathroom, the washroom over there, so you could eat. And come round and round, a day, a whole 24-hour day. Stuck here with the same people now, and only three people they had, you know, and knock, daughter-in-laws and daughters and sons, you know, Mr. Zay Posh had got, you know, his wife. And again, and learn that literally. And to learn that literally, that the psicha for the havana in the Chumash Be'etzim is the mentioning. And can you actually do that day by day, and week after week? Because you don't know when it's going to stop. You don't know what's going to happen. A whole year Be'etzim, in the day, and doing what? Feeding animals. Which I know that it is that. The shverkot. This consistency. The consistency. The asmada shevoy. One way we always used to answer in yeshiva how you can do that is al tiv of Dessler's Yisrael, who Chaim Shlevitz brings on as well, and he forces it through a chazal, if you like, of Dessler, that avo is a toilodo of nesino. In other words, love is a result of giving, not only as one would expect. And this, by the way, for those who ever learned that with Dessler, should be careful the way I said it now. It's not only, because the operative word is only. Avada, there is love which comes from someone giving something to you, you will love them. There is something like that. But that's not denying that. That's not his chiddush to say there's no such thing. Avada there is. If someone gives to you, and he gives it sincerely and so on and so forth, yes, you will come to like that person. You might come to love that person as well. But his chiddush more is the other way around. The way you get to love is by giving. The more you invest in, the more you give to, the more it becomes part of you. This is his mahala. The more it's you, the more you love it. You become connected to it. So he's got the vessel. If you're sitting inside a table and you have the whole yakum, the whole of the species, the whole survival of the world is dependent on you, and this is the world of eventually everything's relying on you to continue, and you give to it, you invest in it, you keep giving, you keep feeding, you keep giving to, you're a nice thing. Oilom chesed yibonet. That's what they say about Nech. Oilom chesed yibonet. Preparatory to the world, we need oilom chesed yibonet. You keep giving. Then it will become part of you. It becomes who you are, and you do not resent the walls of the ark. You do not resent the fact that you can't go anywhere. You're not, because you're not out. You're in. You're more in than in. You're completely yours. Your project. You've taken it on, and it's going to stay your project. It becomes who you are. People who invest in anything, in a tzibur work, right? You take on a school, right? Lo yitzir. And it becomes part of who you are, and what you do, and you go and do it. Somebody who invests money and time into such a thing, and will keep going, etc., etc. It becomes who you are. I'm sure I'm sitting in front of many people who are involved in the tzibur and tzibur work, etc., etc. The way it works is when it becomes yours, and you give, and you continue, and you have that money, that demands up, so you don't resent it. It doesn't become that oil, it becomes part of you, and you have the avo for it, and you have the nesina for it, escape writer. Zemen for noyach. No holiday, no rest, but consistency. But there's even more to it than that. It could be that this, if you like, midah, this tchuna, this structure, this midah of structure was what the world needed. What do we find, what do we know was wrong with the world? And if we could work backwards from the world as well, like we work back from noyach, let's work backwards from the world. What happened to the world? What happened to the world? What was the oinish of the world? The world was destroyed, it became a mush, a flood, mayim, and if we go a little bit into the hechra raid, mayim is something that dissolves, anything that goes into water becomes part of the water. As the Moshe Shapiro Shlita always says, the mayim has no tsura, mayim has no structure to it. If we look at physics, mayim is something that will always just spread out, it doesn't have any, it doesn't stop anywhere, it doesn't have its own shape. The only time mayim has a shape is when it's in the air. So it's falling, there's a drop. But that's good, yeah? Very good, yeah. But when it's sort of on the ground, when it's starting to spread out, mayim just can stay, just moves, it's going, and it'll find its own level, yeah, etc. And it just goes. And mayim is something that, and it does that to anything that's in it, eventually. It just becomes part of it. So mayim is something which dissolves. We had here a great cholent. The world became a cholent. A mixed chunk of everything in it, and all churned out, and it was heated as well, not as a hater chunk, a good hater chunk, it was a hater, yeah. It was hot, and it became one big mush, that was the world. Because, what state at the beginning? ותשוחי צהורת את נאו לקים את מלאי אורץ חומוס ויהיה לקים את סדין נשחוס גישרית כל בוסר סטאפ אל אורץ. So Rashi tells us from, again from Chazal, what was the Ikka? That it was Gezel. Similar to Chomet Gezel. And here you have a little bit of steer, if I have time just to explain this interesting steer, and we'll show you what this means and what it has to do with us today. Interesting shtickle that Rashi comes along and tells us, it's Rashi through Chazal, obviously, it's Chazal coming out through Rashi, is that, Lo Nechtam Gzadirma Elo Al HaGezel. So it's like this. It's very interesting, the positive. Ya'alikim says to be Hinish Chosok, Yishris Gobosos Dako El Oret, right? So Kodesh Baruch says, "Kate kol baso bo lefonai kimol haaretz chomos lo nechtam gzadin mele la gezel." So what was the gzadin because of gezel, because of stealing? As I zok to Rashi. But on the other hand, it says, "Ki ishes kol baso star koroitz." It says, "Afilu behema chay vaofnis kokil sheinon minon." It says, what was the problem with it? The problem was that it was mole zimo. The world was full of zimo and full of the intermingling of species, the unnatural blending, but tishochet, loshen erevo, etc. That the world was full of this blending and mingling of species, which was an unnatural thing, and so on and so forth. That seems to be what the problem was. On the other hand, you said it was loydachem zadim was gezel. How does it work? Simple cheshba, maybe gezel was the chesimus zadim. What was the main problem? Was the ashchoso in this arayas, this destruction, this immorality, the breakdown of the moral fiber, the decadence, if you like, of that doyer, that decadence, and it became. But what was the main problem? So there is a havana, and there's a way of understanding the arayas, if you like, the problem of immorality in that generation was not what obviously evolved desire and evolved fiber, but facet, the way of looking at it is that wasn't the problem of that immorality. And the problem that immorality was through the lack of structure. It was a lack of somebody remaining in his place. Gezel is classic. Here, gezel is that someone has his property, his nechosim, his mokim. Someone comes along, takes something of his property, his nechosim, or his mokim. He stole it. He took it away from him, and now becomes his. He's gone over the boundary, over the barrier. He's come over, right? But there's a way of understanding arayas like that as well. This sort of arayas, where the species intermingled, etc., etc. The mahalak in arayas, in understanding immorality, that the moral thing is one has one's wife, or one has whatever, one's partner, whatever. This sort of mahalak like that, and if this is yours, don't go. Mishkav Zolcha, all these sort of things, you don't go over the border, you don't go over the boundary, and without control, if you like, without structure. And that leads to immorality. That leads to a riot. In other words, although there's the element of desire there, but another way of looking at it, it's not because of desire, it's because the person, the failing in a system, the failing that the system stays a system, the structure stays a structure, the mokum stays the mokum, the mensch stays the mensch, etc., the woman stays the woman, this is how it should be, the animal, all in their place, bim koimom, when that breaks down, then this becomes one. What's the onus? The chunk. The Oynish is, there's no structure. You didn't want structure, you didn't make structure. Gezel, he took his, everyone took everyone else's, and the same thing with Arayis, etc. Even, for instance, Reticha is a Gezelo. In this Mabat. You've taken someone else's life. You've stopped him from being a Kaimis Tachlis. You've prevented him from continuing what he ought to be in his Mokum. You've taken away his Mokum, if you like. So, you've done that, so fine. Have your big mush. Now let's look at the Tikkun. Fantastic Zach over there. What's the Teva? What happened to the Teva? The Teva was the classic place of structure. Again, if you want to use a Moshe type thing, Teva itself, the word is a word. Teva is a word, right? Which is structure out of letters and so on and so forth. But we won't go into that. Just say the Teva itself, right? You know, we have three levels. It's mentioned particularly. The whole thing about the Teva is very structured because it is a structure. And if you think about it, the Pasha, the Torah Kedoshah spends quite a long time, if you like, in this sort of architecture and building materials and how to build it, how long and how high and how many. What's that about? For statement, there's Tifkai there. Understandably, there's Inyonim and Soyid, etc. But again, on a simpler term, a simpler level, You've got structure. The Torah says Noah was a structured person, and that was his middah, and that's what tzaddik means, doing what you have to do at the right time, the right place, and so on and so forth. Noah has his structure, he's doing it, he's committed, he knows how to do it. Chosid is doing something, it's never shows of him. So he's not doing before him. And a tzaddik is someone who does exactly as he ought to do properly, he's got structures, he's got a table. And then we know in the table there's three floors. There's floor for the human beings, and there's for the animals. That's his structure. And if you think about it, the imagery is a fantastic image you have over here. A world in utter chaos. Earthquake, volcano, heat, water, flood. We've got, from nowadays, that's one of the few advantages we have from media, and the visual media, if you like, is that an ability at least to imagine more dramatic events than just the shtetl shul falling down or something, which used to happen in the old days. Or these type of dramatic events, pogroms, I'm not saying that, but the world shattering things, and then the cataclysms and things that happened all over the world. We have a little bit of a musig in that. People have seen and been aware of. So you can picture for yourself a whole world just full of this chaos, this dark, murky, black waters rising up, heated, volcanic and stuff. And in the middle of it, you've got this lighted and lit, but it's only within itself. And if you can sort of peel off the cover, you just see a place with complete and utter structure. And everyone in the stool, all the animals in the stool, and human beings, and a Seder HaYoim, a complete Seder HaYoim, with a Seder of a Bria, a little microcosmic world which lacked structure, was destroyed through no structure, no Seder HaDvarim, no order in the world. That was the Gezel, and that was the Arayas, and that was everything is free and we're one big mush, and who says we need borders, and who says we need limits and boundaries? No, we go everyone else, etc. So now, the recreation of the world, this middle world that Noach lived in, here you have this structure. And then you see it, picture it, a light, human beings, the animals, and then the devils down there, and it's all working in complete fascinating order, right in the middle of everything else is a complete chaos. So Noach, when he misses out once, an animal doesn't get, that's against structure, that's against Seder. He came late, you can't come late. This is the whole mahalach of this rebuilding of the world, is everything's on time, it's mokum, everything's placed, and there's new structure, new Seder, etc., etc. No, you can't do that. And he comes out of the table, he was a gewaldiger listener. Everything he listened, he only came out, and Bereshit to come out. That was Noach. Come in, come out, go here, go there, etc. Noach listened, he wouldn't come out till he was told, take it off. He'd be desperate to get out already, breathe a bit of fresh air, see a bit of a tree, a plant or something. Nay. Because he was an Ish of structure. He had instructions. The Rebbe Shlomo said, come out. He comes out, and he plants, and he takes the wrong order. That's your middah, Noach, and it's the wrong order. Probably should have started with wheat. The wrong order here comes from, if you like, wanting a bit of excitement. It's much more exciting. A good bottle of whatever it is. A good bottle of fizzy or non-fizzy. A good Concord, whatever it is, whatever people drink, I don't know. Good Zach. And if it wasn't whiskey, but it was a grape. Wasn't it really bread? Bread is too basic. Don't have fun with bread. It doesn't look dramatic. It doesn't say anything to anyone. It doesn't. Or does the Seder? That's Cheshvan, by the way. We'll start with Cheshvan. Cheshvan has anything in it. Coming now to Chodesh. Our rhythm, our Torah rhythm, has to have a Chodesh where there's nothing in it as well. It's a very good month for nothing in it. Because it's dark, because beginning of the winter, because it's right now, and so on and so forth. And it begins this whole period of the winter period now, nothing. You have to know how to function with nothing as well. Where there's nothing, if you like, from the outside to inspire particularly, or to make an event. We are people who love events, people who love excitement, people who love the quick, the easy thrill, the click. Right? Click. See, Noach was an anti-clicker. And that's what I was saying, the anti-Noachism of today. It wasn't click. You see, he could we not have had the world just stopped in one day, changed over, Noach, there we are. Why is everybody should do it like that? Let me hold this saga. Hold on, passion. Well, it's quite a long passion this week for those who sit through Chris Tone. Listen carefully. It's quite a long passion. What's that stuff? Hold the guns of passion for Noach. Bad world. Noach, Tadik. Next. On with it. What's that? Hold the guns of this strenuous, straining Seder structure, etc. Because does it, the mensch has to do that. Why not click of a button, automatic, click of a mouse, click of a phone, and do it very quickly and do it instant? Because that's not the mensch, and that's not the chinuch of a mensch. That's not the binyan of a mensch. That's not the oiskabink of a mensch. It's not someone who's going to be built like that. A person will not be built through clicks, and he won't be built through entertainment. He won't be built through wine. He'll be built through bread. He'll be built through basics. And it will be built through strain, and to use the guy's blood, sweat and tears, that's what will build the person. And you have to do it in the table, and you have to do it alpine instructions, and it has to have a seder, and it has to be consistent, and the person has to stay together. And this is for whether it's for marriage together, yeah, it's hard work, marriage, a table stuck together in the table, in the table, yeah. And you have to work, and you have to push, and you have to go, and you have to keep going and keep going, and then be committed, and then the sina brings to avo, and everything in life. There's a huge mutter, there's a huge message coming out of this parasha of Noach. You want to build, you want to retain something, you want to make a world, create yourself, create something for yourself. Have a world with yourself. You have to work, you have to have structure, and it has to be tough, and it has to be basmoda, and it has to be benesina, and it has to keep going, and on and on and on and on and on and on. And if there's, as we find by Noach, who's the prototype, who's the dogma, the classic example, make one, you know, slip. So Noach, no, he gets his leg is mauled, and another slip, he gets drunk, and like once done, other things happen, other chaos happens. This is anti-chaos. The way to deal with anti-chaos, structure. And the way to work with structure is through avodah, and through asmada, and through commitment, and not through clicking, not through instant entertainment. You want wine? Nicht wine. Start with bread. Start with wheat. Start with wheat. Build it up slowly. But that is perhaps the message we have. And this is Erev Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. Chodesh Cheshvan, a good long winter is ahead of us in our various endeavors, activities. Those who are learning all day or half day or a little bit of the day, those are in basmoda, those are in a good winter in that. Those who are involved in various other activities, whether it's in their personal lives, etc., also involved in that and consistently. I'm always finding something else to do. And in marriage and in life, etc., and about in the tzibur, and mishtubi matzliach, and have a good gezunta, and a smoda dikka, and a binyan dikka, winter's mother.